Like the University of Texas, we're back.
Kalu Kale podcast today.
That was funny. You're usually pretty funny, but that was a nice reference.
Oh, thank you.
With the Alice in Wonderland.
Yes.
Totally random. Was that the clams? Is that what the whole sketch
was
about?
Yeah, the walrus and the clams.
I say sketch, like, but that was like a 100-year-old movie. Yeah. You ever think about that sometimes?
It's, yeah, from like the 50s, I believe.
I feel like it's older, isn't it?
No, it's from the 50s. I mean, the oldest one is Snow White, and that was from 39, so. Immediately after two-time national championship
51,
TCU.
51, you're right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're right. But it's crazy to think about, like how animation, like how painstakingly that animation was.
Mm-hmm.
Like Snow White. When was Snow White?
39.
Yeah, so like how they did that.
Oh, yeah.
In here, it's madness.
It's mind-blowing, and it's so, I mean, you know, modern animated movies with computer animation, they're cool and a lot of them are well thought out, but you just can't match the artistry of those old 2D films.
It's crazy.
It's awesome.
It's crazy. And you can't match the artistry of us two dudes.
Mm-hmm. Right? If we do say so
just
ourselves.
Just two Ds over here talking.
Just
so.
A couple Ds. Yeah, we're talking Fs and
Ds. We're just going to do initials. We have to figure out what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some initials, particularly the initials DCTF here in a little bit.
Yes.
We'll get into that lately.
Be warned.
Yes. B is not initial there. That's the full word in that case.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some B-ball and some interesting questions about that. But let's start with the clear, obvious, most recent earth-shattering baseball news.
Mm-hmm.
You got a new head coach. Kirk
Sarlos. Yes.
Kirk Sarlos.
Hail to the new king of frogball, Kirk Sarlos. He's the one we all wanted. He's the one we got.
Literally everybody wanted.
Yeah.
Like can you ask, like if you're Jeremiah Donati, can you ask for a, easier might not be the right word, might not the best word, but like for that be the biggest hire you have to make.
Yeah, I feel like it's a slam dunk like in Parks and Rec in the episode, the Entertainment 720 episode where John Ralphio dunks the ball, but it's because Detlef Schrempf like lifts him up and puts him up to the basket. That's like how easy this dunk was for Jeremiah Donati to hire Kirk Sarlos.
Yes, so great hire, great addition. And if you don't have to listen to us say this, look at every former player and current player on Twitter.
Yeah.
They are excited for this. I'm not going to say addition, like move, this change.
Yeah. Oh, now, I will say, too, I think that people were needlessly upset in... I think that Jeremiah Donati did the right thing, at least saying he was doing a nationwide search.
Yeah.
We're a nationally relevant program. You got to at least do your due diligence. I mean, see what's out there. You can know the whole time that Kirk Sarlos is your top prospect. You know that he's going to take the job, but... You owe it to everyone to just see what's out there.
Do a top 10 search, but I'm sitting here thinking like, who is? Like,
there was no one better qualified.
Who else would be your number one? Because
Bill Mosiello.
I go back
the other number one.
Well, yeah, but I go back to like the Dixon hire, right? And we'll get into that in a minute. But like, I had on my big board of dream board was Dixon 1, Chris Beard 2,
right?
And one of them worked out far superior than the other one. But, like, who is the next like? Who would even be number two? Okay, you're going to say Mosiello. Who is the number one option outside of the program?
Well, I don't know, but apparently there was interest from a lot of Major League Baseball coaches.
Yeah, Bannister, former Rangers manager, Bannister was interested. I was reading, I think Mac Engel wrote about his interest in the job and things like that. And I don't know who else, like... Who else would be better qualified?
Yeah.
I couldn't think of someone. And we'll get to Twitter questions later, but Bayou City asked me a week or so ago who I thought. I was like, Sarlos, a clear number choice, but it would have to be the head of a program that's, not going to say mid-major, but a program that is like on the rise.
Yeah.
And the options I said were Notre Dame and Nebraska, because I thought they had great years this year.
Yeah.
And when it comes to baseball prowess, TCU is far superior than those traditionally.
Yeah, well, and I mean, the thing about it, too, is like I like Jeff Bannister. But ultimately, I mean, Schloss and, by extension, Bill Mosiello and Kirk Sarlos have built something here that has sustained itself far beyond anything else in TCU history. And so you want that. This is kind of like what we talked about whenever Coach P retires, right?
Yeah.
You want that to continue. If you bring someone else in, it's almost like they're starting over from square one, even though they've got a good program in front of them. They're going to do things their way.
It would turn into a more full rebuild versus a,
exactly.
a retool,
exactly.
Slight reload.
This is a reload. I mean, because yes, you lose a lot of really solid guys from this team, which we'll talk again about. This season was the season of disappointment at the end of the day. But still, the core is there. You've got a lot of good young talent coming back, a lot of good young pitching talent coming back. And, I mean, if you talk to people within the program, you talk to people in the know, a lot of the reason that a lot of these really solid recruits were coming to TCU is because of Kirk Starluce and Bill Mosiello. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily because of Jim Schlossnagle.
Well, in the Starluce era, TCU's, what, fourth in the nation in ERA? Mm-hmm. Like in the last, what, 9 years he's been here or something like that?
That's insane.
Yeah, what he's put out there as a pitching staff is ridiculous. And so, obviously, we think he'll keep Matt Perk. We know he'll keep Mosiello. He'll keep Matt Perk.
Keep Matt Perk's dance moves post-home run, most importantly.
And then they'll probably promote John Deloria from volunteer assistant to full-time assistant. So that's what I think the structure of the program will be. But, yeah, I continue to expect this to be a team that – that
competes at the highest level.
That is a super regional at worst team.
Yeah,
and that leads to, was this year a disappointment? And yeah, because obviously we talked as if, oh, Omaha or bust.
Yeah,
I tend to say that every year, but like,
but we were built for it this year.
You bring back everybody. Well, they were, but they did lull towards the end of the year, and then suddenly they win the Big 12 tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, they got this. In the beginning of the year when they played all these top teams. They were the best in the Big 12 when it came to that.
Mm-hmm.
But every series they lost was against a team that made the tournament. They lost a series to Tech, series to Texas, series to Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
did Monroe make the tournament?
I don't think so.
That's the outlier.
Okay, so sure. Sure, they lost to Monroe, and I'm sure they lost
to Kansas State.
And Kansas State. Yeah. Boy, you gave Texas half of a trophy.
Yeah.
Did that? No, that, I mean, but you look at the Texas and the Tech series, two really close back-and-forth games.
Yeah.
Both series had the one team won, one team lost a good game, and I think the Tech third game was a extra innings, was a blowout or something.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's those are two very different things, but like they were in all these games. It's just that's the way baseball goes. As Ron Washington once said, could Washington have been the guy?
That would have been interesting.
That would have been fun.
Yes, to say the least.
But yeah, this is clearly a disappointment when you're in the number six national seed and you don't make it out of your hosting regional.
Yeah, well, and it's hard to sit here and say, oh, you know, we want to share the Big 12 regular season title. We won the tournament title. It's hard to sit here and say this season it was a disappointment. But really, with TCU baseball, you look at TCU baseball and it's kind of the same paradigm as like Kansas basketball, right? Like the conference championships are kind of the expectation. And if you're not making it to the Elite Eight. You know, or 16. Final Four, like you're like, what the hell are we doing?
Yep.
You know? And this was a team when you looked at, I mean, we didn't have a podcast at the time, but I was looking at that bracket and I was like, oh, okay, Dallas Baptist is a tough one, but I really love our draw. We've got maybe one of the most favorable regions of all the regions, in my opinion. We've got a solid potential super regional matchup. I'm like, we're built for Omaha now.
It was shaping up for an Omaha run. It absolutely was. And then they pooped the bed against Dallas Baptist there, and was it the seventh inning?
Yeah, and that was one of those where it's like, you know, I still watched the Oregon State game, but you knew how that one was going to go.
Yeah.
It was like Game 7 in 2011 with the Rangers. You were like, well, it was over last night.
Where was Halen Green a day ago?
Because
River Ridings come in, the freshman lefty comes in instead of the senior veteran lefty, and he has his worst outing of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he was electric all year. But just a bad time for his worst outing of the season.
That was a really, I mean, if I may, that was a really poorly managed seventh inning just
all
around.
That was, and that plays into the thing. I was like, well, was Schloss, like, when he's writing up his lineup card, had he just also used that pen to sign the A&M contract?
Mm.
Like, that's another thing. Like, was he already managing this game knowing, hey, in a week, I'm going to start recruiting for A&M?
Yeah.
Like, do I want to go do that? And am I going to get some, who's the guy? Who's the guy? Played for TCU and A&M.
Oh.
Boomer White.
Boomer White.
Are there any Boomer Whites on this team I can poach with me?
Like, yeah.
Is that what he's thinking at that point?
Currently not.
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know anything, but it wouldn't shock me if that were to happen.
Yeah.
But it also felt like the Schloss message had gotten old, had gotten stale, and it is the best baseball voice TCU's ever had.
Yes.
No question about that.
But you can't take anything away from he's built. Absolutely.
But the last couple years in flirting with Mississippi State, and I think he clearly had some personal struggles that could have bled over into his messaging with the kids and things like that.
Definitely.
So I think it had run its course, and it stinks. I have a fun Schloss story.
Okay.
So when I was working for the Skiff, I was interviewing him for no telling what. It might have been after a game or after a practice or something. And I was the first one there. And so me and him were just kind of chit-chatting. He was eating a granola bar. And he started coughing. And I slapped him in the back like three times. And he coughs it up and was fine. But I'm like, am I the reason A&M has a coach now? I have no idea. But yeah, so
you're the reason we have five College World Series trips.
Y'all are all welcome, yeah. Basically, is what I'm trying to say here. But no, I mean, it's like all my interactions with Schloss were great over the years. Like, it's but I do think it was time. I think it was just time to get a new, yeah. I'd say new voice. It's the same voices, but a new head voice, a new guy in charge.
New skipper.
You're going to keep the same pitching intensity around? Like, you don't think you'll skip a beat there. Yeah. You have plenty of freshmen that contributed well this year. I feel good about next year being another super regional or bust team, like, at worst.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Sweet 16 expecting team, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, it's gross that he's at A&M because it's A&M and because we've got that baseball rivalry.
But at least he's not, like, in Texas.
Yeah.
Or, like, Texas Tech. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Like, if he's not in the conference. In conference, that'd be more of a – like, if you went to Baylor or something, that'd be more of a slap in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, they're going to play A&M in the Super Regionals next year.
We'll get to just knock them out again.
He's going to win in Game 3, and it's going to be amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, so we look forward to that. But, like, looking at this team was two freshmen, three freshmen, four freshmen.
Hey, watch it with that. Students, watch it with that word there.
Four first year students.
You got me triggered on
five,
this side of the table.
Six, seven, eight, nine. What, 9, 10, 11? Like, there's so many first year students here.
Yeah, yeah. Braden Taylor among them.
Braden Taylor.
River Ridings among them.
I do hate that, but the first year student thing, that's dumb. But yes,
very dumb.
But there's a lot. There's so many freshmen on here. Yeah, and this team is young. They're talented. They had some elite players are going to lose to the draft and to being seniors. But I'm excited for this team again next year. I do think they'll be right back where they were this year, hosting a regional and a super regional. That's the expectation for next year, I think.
Yep. And you know, there's so much of this pitching staff was young and showed promise. But, you know, usually when we had these College World Series caliber teams is because we had at least one stud ace, you know, junior, senior pitcher, and then, like, a lot of talent around him. And this year it was a little bit flipped on its head. It was like we had a lot of young guys who, man, they can deal on a good day, but it's also they're learning. So it's good to have another year under their belt.
Yeah.
Have a lot of those bats back. Get Porter Brown back. Get Braden Taylor back. You hate that
Elijah Nunez back.
Yeah. You hate that, like, the Hunter Wolfs and the Connor Shepherds can't be a part of it, but should still be good.
Yeah, this will be a good team again next year, no doubt. Let's see, who, like, was Charles King your senior ace? I'm looking at who the senior, like, stud pitchers were, and if
Charles King, but I don't know, Austin Crabb, I feel like, was kind of the ace.
He was a sophomore, right? That's the thing, and I saw a lot of mock drafts where he was going in there, so we'll see what actually happens with him.
Yeah, because when I think of ace, I think of that's the guy that I'm the most confident in.
Yeah.
Not necessarily your Friday starter, just the guy that I'm like, I know that he's going to give us the best chance to win. And for me, especially late in the season, it was Austin Crabb.
Yep, and I think that's what a lot of people liked about him. I think that was the reason why he's going to be so highly sought in the draft, potentially. So, but yeah, so you lose. Oh, you probably get Russell Smith back.
Yeah, that's exciting. It's true.
He's a redshirt sophomore.
Perfect.
So. Yeah, so I feel good about the pitching staff. I feel great about this. Kirk Saarloos, slam dunk hire. No complaints about that. But so the Swash Nate era, fantastic. Just kind of wore out. I'm not going to say it's welcome, but the message got stale.
Best probably for all parties best involved.
To get you haven't seen a whole lot of people trashing Slosh. You haven't seen a whole lot of people be like, defending. Man, we miss Slosh so much.
Yeah.
Everyone's excited for Saarloos. So I think it was a good time for this.
Yeah.
So is it a good time to have a similar discussion about Jamie Dixon?
Well,
obviously not on June 18th, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, this year, man, like, if this year is bad, and we played a fun game before we started the podcast, name five TCU basketball players, and you struggled.
Yeah. I missed one. I got four, and I...
There are five players on the Gophers roster, which has been updated. There are five players with pictures. That tells you something.
It does.
It's so many new people haven't a picture day yet. There's six, seven.
Hey, but at least they're bowling. That's the good news.
Bowling? Oh, yeah. They went bowling.
That's right. They went bowling.
Yeah, that'll help your basketball form. So, like,
flick of the wrist.
Who are your starters? Like, is it
Mike Miles, man?
Yes, clearly.
You just send Mike Miles out there and let him win the whole thing for you.
You'll pretty much have to. Miles is your one. What, Farabella's your two?
Yeah.
Or the
Micah Peavy, the Texas Tech kid.
Okay, yeah, sure. Okay, so who's your three? I'm assuming
Chucky O'Buckets.
Is he your three or is he your four?
Good question.
He's probably your three. I mean, your
four. I would think that he's the three, and then you got Lampkin and Soul Man.
You're running them both at a four and a five?
Yeah, man. Get those big men in the paint. Because those are the names I know. That's why.
No, there's no... Like, Emmanuel Miller is the next biggest guy, the A&M transfer.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So, like, he's 6'7", Micah Peavy's 6'7", and Peavy's listed as a guard, though. So, yeah, so maybe Miles and Peavy are your one and two.
Oh, by the way, shout out to Emmanuel Miller for wearing an Austin 316 shirt that got put on social media.
There you go.
Love a good 90s WWF reference.
So maybe he's your four, and then your three is Chucky O'Buckets, and then your five is Lampkin and Soulmate. How many games did that win?
Oh, now you're asking the hard.
How many games does that win,
dude?
They don't have the. I don't know. Do they have an extra schedule up yet? They don't have an extra schedule up yet. Well, you're playing all the Big
12. But you know,
yeah, how many Big 12 teams? How many Big 12 wins are you gonna get?
Oh man, I don't know. I'm so low on basketball confidence right now, and like you know, for me to be low on TCU confidence, it's like, yeesh.
Four and a half. If I put it at four and a half, where are you going?
Well, okay, so we can probably beat Iowa State, hopefully. We can probably beat, I don't know, maybe like split with Kansas State, because that's what we usually do.
I figured you'd split with those two teams you just mentioned.
Yeah.
They tend to beat Iowa State every time for some reason. Iowa State's down, but they're usually not this down for this long. So, okay, so you're at two. We can call that three.
Yeah,
Where are two more wins coming from?
Well, okay.
Maybe they'll COVID some other games out of there.
Get like an Oklahoma State.
They always maybe take one from Oklahoma State. Yeah. It seems like always by hook or by crook, take one from them.
We're not going to beat OU, no matter how bad OU is.
Does not matter. They're never going to beat Oklahoma. Can you snatch one from Texas?
I'm trying to find that fifth game.
Tech will be down. I think Tech will be down.
Yes, there's Tech your fifth. Down. Micah Peavy revenge game. We take one from Tech.
So you take
five
one,
wins.
You take one from Tech, one from Iowa State, one from Kansas State.
I was thinking sweep Iowa State.
Okay.
One from K-State, Oklahoma State, and Tech.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's going to be.
I'll take the under still.
Yeah,
but,
probably.
But those are the five most likely options for wins. Okay, so
why?
Say you win five games. You win five Big 12 games. Your non-conference, they haven't. If they've announced some games, I know they're playing Georgetown in the Big East, Big 12, whatever that is, challenge now. So that's I always loved watching Georgetown growing up. They got Patrick Ewing as the coach. I wish that game was here. Mm-hmm. I would love to go see Patrick Ewing in person. But you're probably not going to beat them. I think they ended up making the tournament. They made a run towards the end of the year and made the dance.
Did they? I can't remember.
I think they did.
Yeah, I think they did. Yeah, I think you're right. So they're on the up and up.
Yeah, they're on the upswing. Like, so you're probably not going to win that game.
I don't know, man.
You'll probably beat somebody. You'll probably beat somebody. Look at the teams they always play. Like Liberty, Houston Baptist. Yeah, those teams always end up playing.
I mean, I'm sure we'll have a decent out of conference. Yeah,
but like, so what is the team going to go?
I don't know, man. And it's hard.
They went 12-14 this year in a COVID-shortened year.
Ugh.
Can they get to 13 overall wins?
Dude, yes. I don't know. You'd like to think that, okay, Jamie has some guys who are excited to play for him. You know he's got guys who are talented, like Chuck O'Balin's talented. Mike Miles is talented. Francisco Farabella, they're all talented. So, you know, maybe he gets them buying in and maybe, you know, they get some momentum going and they can do a little bit of something. I mean, they're not going to compete for the title, but
we struggled to find five Big 12 wins. Does that keep Jamie's job?
That is an excellent question.
Thank you.
Because we had said, I feel like me and you had said that it's basically NIT or bust next year. If he doesn't make the NIT, you have to start talking about, is it time to look for somebody else? Who that somebody is, I do not know.
Bill Mosiello.
Yeah, can he coach basketball? Can we get a Dutch Meyer situation
But would you want to go, okay, is there a guy on the bench that you're like, yeah, that's the clear successor? That's the thing. Like, who?
Well, I would have said friggin' Ryan Miller, but now he's at Creighton.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where I would have gone.
Yeah. And so now we sit in
Corey Santee. Like I'm looking at the assistant coaches now.
Yeah,
Dwayne Broussard.
There, I mean, and hey, it's like, nothing against. We love Corey Santee on this podcast, and I'm sure Dwayne Broussard is great. But I don't feel confident in any of those guys taking over the head title. Not over Jamie Dixon.
I think the next option is Scott Cross.
I guess,
but I wish they never would have let him go. But I'm not saying he instilled a lot of confidence in Troy, but I think he's still a name that carries some weight around here.
I mean, like 2 pounds of weight, like.
Yeah, but like. But where do you go? Like, that's the next thing. Like, you're not going to get Patrick Ewing from Georgetown. Like, yeah. you're not going to get, I'm trying to think of whatever mid-major. You're not going to get Jim Christian from Boston College or wherever he's at now.
Don't want him. Are you kidding?
I know.
Hey, what's Trent Johnson doing?
Right? Is he still at Louisville?
I don't even know. He had gone to LSU, and I know he's not there anymore.
Like, I didn't hate the Rick Pitino idea.
I hate it so much. No, okay. If we're going to get a new... We've got to go the Chris Beard route if we're going to go for somebody other than Jamie Dixon. We got to find exciting...
So watch the tournament when SFA...
We deserve more than the leftovers, you know?
Yeah.
Like the old broken down leftovers.
But if Stephen F. Austin is a 13 seed and they knock off 4 seed Duke or something this year, does SFA's head coach become the guy? Because that's what happened to Chris Beard. He's at Arkansas State.
Hey, Mike Krzyzewski's not going to be doing anything after this year.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure.
You want a new challenge?
Retire and come build this program back up.
You want a new challenge?
So, I don't know. But insert a Pitino here.
I don't know. I think we could do better than that. I just don't know any names.
You don't know who.
I don't know any names.
You got to watch the tournament. You got to watch the tournament and see who does something in the tournament.
Yeah.
Louisiana Tech had a good year. I always fall back on that because it's close.
Yeah.
It was nearby.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just got thinking with the Star Luce edition, you're replacing one legend. Dixon is a legend.
He's a legend as a player. And he's a legend at Pitt.
But he's also, like, his first 4 years, legendary.
Yeah.
As a head coach here.
By TCU standards, yeah.
By TCU standards. But again, that's the thing. When you flirt with UCLA, again, we talk about Schloss flirting with Mississippi State, then leaving a couple years later.
But those are two very different circumstances.
They are.
Very
Schloss had a lot of off-the-field stuff.
And
Dixon doesn't, not that we know, have anything like that. And it just stinks when you are coaching the number one team in the country, and then 10 years later you go into a more fertile basketball proving ground, you're in one of the best conferences still, and you're scraping away to get 4, maybe 5 conference wins.
You really sit here and it's like, what are we actually doing wrong? You know, what is, I mean, obviously you look at the number one thing, you're like, oh, well, all the players are leaving. But, I mean, players are doing that everywhere. I mean, it's really not just a TCU problem.
No, but it's not. It just still stinks.
It does.
Because now we don't know any of the players.
Yeah.
Which is part of the whole issue of transferring. But, and you're not upgrading anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you knew what Nimbard was. You, despite his flaws, you knew what Kevin Samuel was.
Yeah.
I have no idea if Micah Peavy's 6 points a game at Texas Tech is going to be worth anything here.
Well, it doesn't inspire confidence either when you got like 2 or 3 players from an A&M team that we beat with last year's team that wasn't that great.
Yeah, and then Vanderbilt didn't win an SEC game. You're poaching a kid from Vanderbilt. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know where this team goes.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't feel good about it, and I guarantee you this team would lose by 40 to the 4 with Funk.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, you better believe it.
40 at least.
Yeah,
I'm excited for the 4 with Funk. I really am. They're playing in. They're hopefully playing in the tournament. Are they guaranteed a spot? I know they're announcing the teams on Monday.
Do you have more information on that? Because
not a clue.
I don't know what these words mean. Like, I don't know what the tournament
that
is.
That sentence is not a thing I would have ever. I know what the tournament is.
Yeah,
you know what that is, though, right? You've never seen the tournament.
No,
so,
please.
So a lot of teams, a lot of like, I want to say like Wichita State and like Syracuse, they put teams together of recent alums, and they play in a 64 team tournament. The winning team gets $1 million to split amongst themselves.
Okay.
So
it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, yeah. It's usually on one of the Fox Sports.
Oh, Bally Sports?
Well, no, I think it's on like Fox Sports 1. Is that still a thing? Is that still a real thing?
Hey, if it's on my YouTube TV package, then yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's you can. This is easier to find than our Texas Rangers game.
Yes, which I've watched maybe one Texas Rangers game all year.
Well, you're not missing much, but yeah, same.
I'm missing Adolis Garcia is what I'm missing.
You're right. You can't miss him if you don't know who he is. But yes,
that's very true, Billy.
But the fourth funk. I see nothing. I'm excited to watch these guys, but they end their games with the what's that not really tie breaking, but what's the final scoring method? That basketball, they
sudden death dodgeball.
No, like basketball ends with a certain method now. It's some nerd professor came up with it.
I don't know. Overtime is
no. They basically take the whoever's winning at this point. The Elam ending. That's right. Elam ending is like so. If you're up by a certain number of points after the third quarter, you have basically have to get like 12 more points to win the game. So you come up with a final score. So say the score is 60-48 after the third quarter, right?
Okay.
And you have to get essentially 12 more points. Whoever gets a 72 first wins.
At that point.
It's weird. I think it's interesting, but it keeps games from ending like all these timeouts and fouls and stuff. It does tend to prevent that from happening because you're not trying to foul someone and give them points if you only need 12 more to win.
I see.
So
okay.
Yeah, so that's a thought, but that's how they end all their games, which is kind of exciting.
Interesting.
In my opinion.
Yeah, very interesting.
But yeah, so we're looking at the TCU. TCU's gonna have a team for the first time. I assume they're in. They're having a selection show.
The Fort Worth Stank.
I don't know why they would be promoting and doing all this if they weren't sure to get in.
Yeah.
But some recent fan favorites, Vladimir Brodzianski, Dalton Dry, Brandon Parrish. Alex Robinson, J.D. Miller,
and then
Chris
like
Washburn.
One dude from UCLA or something.
Yeah, right. Willie Warren, Cavell Williams, Trey Ziegler, Jalen Henry also wrap up the team. So there's 10 players playing. They basically each win $100,000.
I really
coached by
to
Lee Nalen. So
that, yeah, another frog. So they'd been doing all the announcements of like this TCU player, this TCU player, this TCU player, and then they announced like the other guy who was from like I don't know like UCLA or something.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to tweet like I'm out. You lost me. Like, not interested anymore.
Yeah. Is it, no, it wasn't Jalen Henry. It was, yeah, Cavell Williams from LSU.
Okay, yeah. Somebody like
but
that.
But yeah, so it's,
I was like, I don't know who
either
you
way,
are. I don't even know who you
would,
are.
This team would beat the current Frogs by 40.
100%. I mean, but besides the fact that they're all adults and, you know,
well, yes.
TCU players.
But, like, man, it's rough. Yeah. Like, I think it's
in their
rough
prime,
season.
They would beat them by 40. In their they're still in their prime. Well, in like, their college football,
if they were, if,
college basketball
if you
days.
Put this team from 5 years ago versus this team now, they'd still win by 40.
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe,
that's 60, what I was
maybe
at.
60.
Yeah.
Speaking of games, you win by 40 or 60. TCU plays Texas in football this year,
mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
That yes.
First week. I'm trying to get good at segments. So they're gonna play Texas, and then they play Texas Tech, who apparently has the best quarterback we've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah. He's the best quarterback in the whole state. You don't know this?
I never heard of this person's
Tyler
name
Schall.
I never heard of this person's name before in my life till
hey,
I saw
well,
this
you
list.
better learn, man.
Tyler Schall? Show?
Schway.
Schway?
Schwing?
He threw for 1,500 yards in rush
high school.
And rushed for 271 yards last year. And dug in through for 1,700 and ran for, 500?
This is so wrong. It defies the very foundation of justice, okay? There's literally no excuse, and I'm calling you out, Shehan J. Roger. There's no excuse to say that this man is the best quarterback in the state of Texas.
Are these all his picks, or is this like a voting thing?
I
or
think
is,
they're his picks.
His byline's on the article I'm reading.
Yeah,
but
I think
like,
it is.
But that, I don't. You can't just take, especially if you're doing a thing for Texas, like Texas, I don't get taking a quote-unquote outsider and making them the best guy.
Yeah.
I know he's technically enrolled at Tech, but he hasn't thrown a single pass
in the
state of Texas.
If you talk about quarterbacks in the state of Texas, FBS quarterbacks, now, and we'll get around to this. If you talk about FBS quarterbacks in the state of Texas, there is no better resume than Max Duggan. I don't give a crap what you think about his stats. he has succeeded in spite of, I don't know, heart conditions and terrible offensive play calling issues because he got like six offensive coordinators at one time. Like, Max Duggan is the best quarterback in the state of Texas at the FBS level. If you're going to expand it, which apparently they did this year.
Yeah, you're like, it's only FBS guys. Like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, that then, yes, this whole thing's argument. No, on the second team is Eric Schmidt from Sam Houston. Didn't they win the FCS championship?
So in what world?
The championship? They got far. Didn't they win?
And yes, they did. They won the national friggin' championship.
Put him number one. I won't argue that.
In what universe?
I cannot argue that.
Is this Tyler, whoever the heck, from wherever the heck, a better quarterback in the state than the kid who just won a national championship? Come on, man. If you want to just say we're a TCU Homer podcast, I mean, you're correct. But this makes no sense beyond a TCU level.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying it should be Max, but it should
be. I'm saying it should be Max.
But it shouldn't be Tyler Shower.
Shugula.
It should not be him.
Like, Tyler Shawarma.
I don't know.
No.
And watch, and he'll torch us by with offensive coordinator Sonny Cumbie.
Hey.
He's gonna have his revenge game.
Well, hey, you know that those offensive coordinator Sonny Cumbie teams are
explosive.
Yes. They explosive put up points.
In some
all
regard.
Love to Sonny Cumbie, but yes. Really.
So he's your best quarterback. Your best running back is Sincere McCormick at UTSA.
I mean, that's fair. Sincere McCormick's good.
Was he good?
Yeah, he's good, but I mean, to not
is he
have
better
Zach
than
Evans,
Isaiah Spiller? Is he better than Bijan Robinson?
Okay, see, now there's another thing.
That's what I'm saying. I get if it's not Zach Evans, but is that guy better than those two people?
Well, I mean, Sincere McCormick is good, and you're not going to see – I'm not a guy who just hates on the little schools because they're the little schools. I grew up a TCU fan. Like, come on. I'd be kidding myself if I was to do that. Sincere McCormick is good.
I don't know
running back
about
is it. Hard. But the one that ticks me off is the next position.
He had 1,400 yards this year. Okay.
Yeah.
He's good. Again, is he better than Bijan Robinson? And
he's probably as good. I mean, you know.
Okay.
If you subscribe to certain.
If you know it and I don't, that's fine. I'm not saying it should be a TCU guy. I just don't know if it should be this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my
fair
argument.
That's fair. I don't think it's quite as egregious. It's nowhere near as egregious as quarterback.
No.
And it's also not as egregious as leaving Quentin Johnston off of any wide receiver mentions for the state.
There are six receivers mentioned, including a guy that had zero catches for 0 yards last year in Bradley Rosner for Rice.
Get out of here. Just leave.
Again, I get it. I get it if Quentin's not on the first team.
I don't get it. Who's okay. better than him?
Oh,
Who's better than him?
I can see the argument for Reggie Robertson and Eric.
That's Reggie Robertson's fine.
And he won the best in the state. Not arguing that.
Yes.
Not arguing that. I just don't understand the rest of the top six.
Well, and here's the thing. It's the college football playoff issue, right? There's not a consistent rubric on how we're grading these guys. Because with quarterback, it's like, oh, well, he's going to be good. And with Reggie Roberson, it's like, well, he's got the best stats coming in. Well, which is it? If it's who's going to be a breakout star, then there literally is no argument better than Quentin Johnston. There's none. So what are we doing here, man? What are we doing? This isn't even
taking
our
crazy pills.
This isn't even our crap all over Texas football episode. This is like
a
preview.
Yeah, that's coming later.
That.
Wait till you eventually get your magazine in the mail.
Yeah, and
then
you know,
that will come.
There'll be lots to be mad about. Yeah, but
yeah. Tight ends, whatever. I don't know. Sure, they're probably better than.
I mean, all of our tight ends are gone except for Carter Ware.
Yeah, Carter Ware.
Shout out Carter Ware, yeah. King.
Your offensive lineman, like you should probably. Steve Avila is on here. He's on the second team. But
put him on first team, you cowards. Put him on
you
first
should.
Team.
You're,
he plays literally every position on the line.
It's true. He should at least be first team.
Yes.
And then second team is current Texas Tech lineman TJ Stormont, who was on there because of what he did at TCU, by the way.
Yeah, I guess.
But so we're going
to
take some credit
for that. Reeks of player commits to TCU and loses a star ranking. Like, this is just nonsense.
Well, it's why your why Shahan hates your team.
He does, though.
He's a outspoken Baylor guy.
Yes. He does, though. Yes.
But he'll say he won't, but you're blocked by GP, so you need to move.
I mean, proof's in the pudding, homeboy.
All right. Defense.
Yeah, let's get more
the defensive line, O'Shawn Mathis is first team.
Yeah, he
is.
Sure.
DeMarvin Leal for A&M, sure. Praise Armualu from UTEP, sure. Fine.
No.
Oh, I don't know if he's good or not, but I know who is not on the second team and should probably be on first team, but at least be second team.
Corey Bethley is nowhere to be found.
Neither is.
Neither is the Moon Bison himself, Kari Coleman.
Kari Coleman should be on this list.
Yes, I mean, at least on seconds here.
I can at least rationalize leaving Bethley off of it. I don't like it, but I can rationalize it.
How are you
leaving
Kari
Coleman off is demonstrously stupid.
How are you going to have a UTEP player? UTEP, which is like, they're like the new Kansas State, where it's like, is this the worst program of all time? You know, like. This reeks of like back when I was a sports editor in Mineral Wells, and I was like, well, I gotta have at least one kid from every area school on my, you know, all area team,
but
right?
Yeah, I'm not mad because I do appreciate sticking up for the little guy. Like, you just,
yes.
I like Shihan promoting some of these little people because, like I said, I never heard the Sincerely guy. I'm gonna look him up. I might tune in a little bit harder to UTSA this fall because, like, oh, there's a guy that's pretty good apparently. But like, I get that. But leaving Kari Coleman off is just. Stupid.
I mean, listen, we're talking about arguably the deepest TCU defensive line ever,
yeah.
ever this year. And you're going to tell me only one of those guys is worthy of a two deep best all state? Really? No. Miss me with that nonsense. Get out of here.
So, and then your linebacker, you have eight linebackers, and second team, D Winners made second team. I don't,
fine, whatever.
Not going to get too mad about that, whatever.
Yeah.
First team defensive back, Trey Tomlinson. Clearly, yes. He's a preseason All-American.
Absolutely.
By pretty much everybody, it seems like.
He's on the lot watch list.
Hard to argue with that. And that is it for your TCU representation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess...
You're bringing a lot of... You have a lot of young people in your safety.
Yeah, I mean, we lost our two stud safeties.
Is Van Zandt probably better than Rashad Wisdom at UTSA? Or, yeah. Probably.
I mean, it's also hard with the 4-2-5 because he's also kind of a glorified linebacker.
It's hard to define that. But
yeah.
The biggest argument for us is, who the hell is Tyler Shough? Where is Quentin Johnston? And I think those are my biggest gripes.
Well, I'm going to tell you what else. I'm going to tell you what else. If he can play a whole season healthy, you better believe Noah Daniels is going to be one of those.
Yeah, but I get leaving him off.
I get leaving him off. Yeah, I absolutely get leaving him off.
I get it.
That's another dude. That's another dude on your defense.
But having a guy with zero catches or 0 yards from Rice on this team ahead of Quentin Johnson is just stupid.
That
is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my entire
life. Operative word, absolutely.
Yes. So that's really all I care to mention about Dave.
Hashtag make it personal. Hashtag prove them wrong. Hashtag don't back down. Okay, let's take this thing all the way to the top.
Taking it to the street. Yeah, so...
Play football in the streets.
Sure, might as well. They'll beat Duquesne, they'll beat Cal, they'll beat SMU. I think I'm going to go to the SMU game. I think it'll be my my first game as a fan in like 12 years.
Really? That's crazy. Exciting.
Crazy, yeah.
That's exciting. We'll have to indulge in some adult beverages beforehand.
I got some buddies that are already talking to me about tailgates and say, gotta come to this tailgate, So, yes.
Billy drinks free.
Yeah. I like that rule.
Yes.
So, I think you're definitely going to make that my first fan game. And literally, I want to say since the Utah game.
Wow.
I want to say since the Utah game day game.
All right.
Crazy. And that game went
hopefully well. Hopefully it's a similar outcome.
So hopefully it's like that.
I would very much like to just curb stomp them this year.
Same.
Nothing would give me more joy.
Same. All right. Twitter questions. You ready?
Dude, yes. Let's get these Twitter
questions.
We got
a lot of them this week. People missed us.
Yay.
Despite YellMK forgetting we exist. Everyone has missed us. We'll get into that in a second.
@2YellMK. @2.
First question from Bayou City Frog. Where have you guys been and what have you been up to?
Oh, we've been working.
We're 9 to 5 working stiffs now. We're both, oddly enough, in the insurance games.
Yeah.
I feel like I do actually really like my job.
Good.
It's still salesy, but I'm helping people set up Medicare and getting enrolled in that and giving people stuff they need, not taking advantage of old people and helping people out. So I do like my job and keeps me busy, pays really well, and it's nice. So
yeah, it's good that you say that because I'm happy for you, and I feel so similar because as much fun as I've had doing like acting things and like horse shipping and all these other nonsense jobs I've had, I keep saying like it's so liberating to know that I'm actually helping someone with the job I'm doing.
Yeah,
you know, I'm actually making an impact on their life beyond just like, you know, oh, I got a chuckle from that. Those couple seconds.
Yeah. So if you know someone who's turning 65 this year or retiring, hit me up.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Yep. What were the top three reasons why, in order if possible, TCU baseball nosedived at the end of the season?
Mm.
Slosh checking out. I'll say it.
I guess.
I'll go there.
That's kind of the easy answer.
That is the easy answer. Bats got cold at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Because even in the McNeese State game, wasn't it like 1-0 in the 8th inning or whatever?
Yeah, we won the game like 3-2.
Yeah. Well, they ended up winning the game like 12-4. Okay. But it was like 3-1 or whatever in the 7th inning.
That's true. That's true.
They blew up in like the 7th or 8th. Their guys couldn't throw strikes toward the end. But yeah, the bats fell apart late. And
yeah, because that, you know, that is the hard thing about, I mean, this is, if you've been a Rangers fan for any amount of time, you know this. You can't rely on a really good offense in baseball.
No.
Because it's going to ebb and flow. Yeah. You got to have solid pitching if you're going to win.
And also, I mean, do you say, was the Big 12 title tournament run negative? Because you did use a lot of arms the week before.
That's true.
That could have played a factor in it as well. Would you have rather lost in the semifinal? Could you have still gotten that six or seven? Succeed losing in the semifinal
game. You bring up an interesting point there, Billy. So there I don't know.
Those are my top three reasons.
I'd have to look back at that championship. I don't recall us using just a ton of arms in that Oklahoma State game, did we? I know we scored like crazy.
Yeah, but I think that's the end result of being out of pitching.
Yeah.
For both teams. And yeah. We played one more game Oklahoma State did too because we had to come from the losers' bracket.
That's true. That's true.
So I think, but why wasn't it best 2 out of 3? They've only lost one game.
Because those are the rules.
Them's the rules. why are we the road team and we're playing at Lupton Stadium?
Like, because that's how it works. Yes. It's what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, any other reasons for that or not?
I. You know, it's hard. You know, it feels almost too easy to point the finger at Schloss. But I mean, there were a lot of managerial decisions where you're like, what?
Yeah.
What is happening right now? I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of the easy one. That and, you know, it's a young team. So
yeah, it's hard
to sustain a deep postseason run with a young team, no matter how talented.
True.
There was still a ton of seniors on that team, but,
yeah,
you know.
Young
in the pitching staff.
With the exception of potential transfers, we kind of know how TCU baseball is going into next season. Should these expectations still be Omaha or bust in 2022? I'm going to say super regional.
Yeah, that's what I was going to temper our expectations just slightly, just because of the youth.
And it's Sarlos' first year being the guy.
Yeah.
I'll say super regional or bust.
Yeah.
But then you bring back everyone again next year. Like, you're not going to lose a lot off that year's team. So.
Yeah. But again, you know, if you find yourself in a favorable tournament next year.
Like we thought we had this year.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I'm looking at a potential Old Dominion Super Regional or, you know, Southwest Missouri State, I'm like, okay, well, let's go ahead and get to Nebraska.
But then you have this pitching that we know we're going to have with Sarlos at the helm. You can win any game.
So. Exactly.
Yep. What the heck do we make of JS and the program? Is it better to break up between pre-post 2017? A lack of public sentiment from former players has me wondering. So I'm talking about. Yeah, I think – like we said earlier, I think his voice had kind of been lost. Kind of lost his tone, and it was time.
It really makes you wonder if he should have gone to Mississippi State. You know what I keep thinking about is, like, why didn't he? You know, what did make him stay? Yep. Because by all accounts, I mean, we offered him the same amount of money as A&M. It wasn't like A&M just backed up the Brinks truck. He was just like, it's time for me to go.
Yep.
So it kind of makes you think, like,
Yep.
You know.
And then, I think it was just time. I think it was time. I think the voice had gotten stale. And you could argue with another bad year for football, is it time to have a similar conversation?
Get out of here. Leave your apartment, Billy. Stop. Stop it.
But I know. That's what Twitter is. Like,
Billy, can you hear me?
I've already.
Someone's taking. Are you in danger?
Right. That's the thing you say when, like, you've been kidnapped and you want someone to know.
Yeah.
Like, Jimmy should probably be done, right? Yeah. That's what I would say if I'm being kidnapped. But that's what Twitter people say. Like, but I've already said that about Dixon.
Okay.
I've already said that repeatedly about Dixon. So
Those are the Twitter people that you just go ahead and put on mute. Yeah. Like, because, okay, homie, you have not, apparently you were born yesterday.
Yeah. And so last question from Bayou City is about football. Is he wrong for having the expectation that they should be consistently beating Kansas State and West Virginia, losing to these guys 2 of the last 3 years? Doesn't seem like it should be accepted with the talent we have. But yeah, it feels like they played like a middle of the pack team the last couple of years. But last year, again, I felt like after Oklahoma, after they got their butts smacked in by Oklahoma, they turned the corner.
Yeah.
Like, I have no doubt in my mind they would have smacked Arkansas by 30.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Not a doubt in my mind.
Oh, yeah. I hate that we didn't get the chance to.
Yeah.
You know, West Virginia was a good bit better last year. The 2019 game, that was inexcusable. You should have beat that West Virginia team in 2019.
I know the weather was bad, but you still have to win that game.
And Kansas State,
Kansas was also an excuse.
Oh my God, you should have won both. Okay, let me get mad again.
Yeah, get mad at that one.
This, so that was 100% on coaching decisions that we didn't beat Kansas State, because you got to put Alex Delton in the game when Max just marched down the field and scored. Let's go ahead and just take all the wind out of his sails. Put, you know, Mr. Reliable Alex Delton into the game. Come on now. So we should have won that game. And then, you know, you could have won the game last year, but that offensive line was a mess.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's a different issue. Should have won at least one of those two.
Yeah, and also you should have beat Iowa State last year.
Yeah, should have won that one too.
So they're close in all these games. I know close doesn't count, but you should be beating these teams, and you should be in the contender. Like we've already said, this is they're built for this.
Also, for what it's worth, with that Iowa State game last year, you know, there's been so many rumors about like, oh, like, you know, maybe Max, maybe there was something going on behind the scenes. Maybe he didn't play for a reason. That's all a bunch of nonsense. I have it on very good authority that it was just Max. We don't know if he's physically ready. We were worried about him, but they did the right thing.
Get physically magically healed in 2 hours?
I think that
in the first half.
Now that does bring into question, like, okay, why did we think it was okay to put him in the second half?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you know, so ideally, you're like, man, I still agree. Yes, if he'd have played all four quarters, we would have won that game
easily.
But they were trying to play it safe with him. So there's no grand conspiracy going on, is what I would like to dispel. There was no, oh, Max is some secret drug dealer or some nonsense. Yeah.
You know? Hey, fan of the show, Shehan Jiraja.
Oh yeah.
Why does DCTV hate my favorite team?
Yeah, you tell me.
You went to Baylor and you don't watch any TCU games apparently.
Yo, there is a grand conspiracy. I do believe this. I love Dave Campbell's Texas football. I get it every year. It's a grand tradition in my family. My grandpa owns every single issue. We get it every year, and we get mad at it every year, and it's great. Dave Campbell himself is a Baylor grad. So my grandpa has always told me, oh, yes, they have always hated TCU. They've always given TCU not a fair shake because it's deep within their very soul. So, Shehan, sounds like the problem is coming from your end of the table. That's all I'm going to say.
It's an institutional problem.
Yes, yes, yes. Systematic TCU hatred.
Tim Riley 04. Who is Schluss pursuing as his assistant?
So Schluss? Is that Sarluss or Schluss?
Schloss. The combo platter. I think we'll get Deloria full-time, and they'll pull an assistant somewhere. I have no idea where.
I don't care what Schloss is doing.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah.
No idea what Sarluss is going to do for his assistant. It's not a clue. Doug, I got surgery, dude. What are we supposed to call redshirt freshman this year? Second time around first years.
Earth-toned student of unspecified gender.
Non-binary,
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Second year first timers, I don't know.
You could call them redshirt Subway students.
First time, they eat fresh. Full-time players. It's Max's third year. Do we actually let him play this year, actually pass downfield some, or just have offense envy watching Spencer Rattler throw for 500 every weekend? We saw this towards the end of the year. We saw them open it up quite a bit, and I think you'll see more of that.
With Doug Meacham having full control over the offense, he's a dude who likes to heave it downfield. But, you know, I mean, you got to remember, too, we kind of got a lot of good people who can run the ball. So I think we're going to have a very balanced attack. Yep. But I don't think also that we'll be – you know, you saw like in Max's freshman year, for example, it was like we were scared to let him. It's like we were scared to let him throw an interception, scared to let him throw it on field. I don't think you'll see that anymore.
I don't think you'll see it anymore. Yeah. I think you're free, Max. I think Max will be freed.
Free Max. And
he'll outperform Tyler Shiglau. With John Butler at John Butler 88. Which of the big three sports, football, basketball, baseball, finishes highest in the Big 12 standings next year?
Ooh.
Basketball.
If in you go reverse, by golf rules.
In reverse.
Baseball, man. I think baseball.
Football.
Well, I think football finishes second and goes to the Big 12 championship and wins the daggum thing. So, I don't know
though. Baseball's going to
win? Well.
If you win the Big 12 title game, is that winning the Big 12? Is that finishing first?
Hold on, though. I don't know what Texas and Texas Tech look like next year in baseball. Are they bringing the guys back? Are they not?
Not a clue. That's why I'm going football.
Yeah, you convinced me. I'm going to go football.
Football, then baseball, then 1,000 feet of dirt, then basketball.
Yeah.
B-Banks 2121, who wins the Euros? You been watching any of this?
No. Is this soccer?
This is soccer, yeah.
Okay, I did watch, we were talking about this before the podcast, I did watch the U.S.-Mexico game that was just bananas.
So, fun fact, that was not part of the Euros.
Okay, but yeah. I'm just saying I watched a non-World Cup soccer game.
I watched the highlights of that.
And I had fun.
My dark horse last World Cup was Belgium. I told my friends about it. They didn't believe me. Belgium, I think, is now ranked number one or top four or something like that.
The news to me.
They made the final four in the World Cup, I believe, last year. So I'm sticking with my boys in Belgium. It's the
first time Belgium has been number one in anything other than waffle production.
Yeah, it's like go chocolate, go waffles, go in Bruges.
Okay.
Which I think Bayou City will appreciate that reference.
All right. Aren't they the Red Devils? Isn't that kind of moniker?
I don't know.
Something like
not
that?
Not a clue. Have you seen in Bruges?
Mm-mm.
You'd like in Bruges. Colin Farrell's in it. That's enough for me. I love Colin Farrell.
Check.
What's the worst thing you've ever smelled?
Oh, okay. I got a good answer for this.
I have a good answer for this, too. I'll let you go.
Okay. So I did, when I was in high school, I did this careers camp at the Fort Worth Zoo. There was like a week where you like lived at the Fort Worth Zoo and you like did all these different jobs. And it was very fun and it was really cool. Like we did a lot of stuff like in the nutrition center and like getting food ready for the animals and all sorts of cool stuff. But there was a lot of fecal cleanup, mm-hmm. we shall say. Mm-hmm. And there was one instance where we went in and we had to clean up the barn for the pregnant Indian one-horned rhinoceros. And let me tell you, Billiam, that is the worst thing I've ever smelled in my entire life.
You see that being really bad.
That was the worst
thing
I've ever
smelled.
That might
be worse than my answer.
Okay.
All right. So when I was the sports editor of the TC Daily Skiff, one of the greatest honors I received were the Dallas Stars calling my desk phone at the Skiff and asked me to come cover a game. And I was excited.
Okay.
They were doing a promotion for student season, like student tickets, like a discount if you're a student ID. Like, hey, come right out of the atmosphere or whatever. And my favorite Stars player at the time, and still one of my all-time favorites, is Marty Turco. Love Marty Turco. Mm-hmm. And I was bummed because he wasn't playing. And I was like, oh, man, he's not playing. I was like, wait a minute. That means no one's going to want to talk to him after the game. He had the game off, so it's like, I can go talk to him in the locker room.
I think you might have told me this story.
Yeah, so, well, no, I mean, I go in the locker room, and it's the worst smelling thing I've ever seen. A hockey locker room is the worst smell I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad. But I did get to talk to Marty Turco. Like, no one was talking to him like I thought. So, and I heard his voice, and that's how big a nerd I am. I recognized the hockey player's voice behind me. Like, I talked to him, a couple other players. So that was a very fun, memorable thing. But yes, that locker room was the worst smell I've ever experienced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, frankly, not that close. When I saw it, I was like, oh, that's my answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have another story. So, you know, they smell is so closely related to taste. This is more of a taste one.
The fecal matter from the one-horned pregnant rhinoceros?
No, I did not. But my freshman year at TCU, the spring semester, I had a roommate who shall remain nameless, but he very well might listen to this. So he used to dip a lot, okay? And he would leave dip cups all over the room. In Moncrief. Shout out to Moncrief. 2010 Moncrief. So one day, I was there in between classes. I was like watching TV, eating my pot belly, and I reach for what I think is my Powerade.
Ooh.
Right? And I take a big swig of what I think is my Powerade, and it does not take long for me to say, oh, this is not Powerade.
Yeah, that's,
it is neither cold nor entirely liquid.
Did you die from that?
Well, I didn't swallow it. I you know, spat it literally everywhere. It was like a spit take out of a TV show. God. But I proceeded to, you know, gag for a solid, like, 2 minutes in the sink.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, it was like, it invaded, like, all of my senses. I could not. Yeah. And I have a really annoyingly strong stomach. Like, I can never get myself to throw up when I need to. So, like, when I have a sick stomach, it, like, lasts way longer than it should. Just because I'm like, please, let me throw up. And so I'm just sitting there just, like, gagging and dry heaving and just nothing's happening. It was terrible.
Hmm.
It's terrible. Definitely the worst
like a bad time.
Taste/smell
yep.
I've ever endured.
Talking about gross taste, my grandma tricked me into eating, what? Pig brain? Is that what it was? No, goat brain.
Oh, that was okay. Bad. Have you had chitlins?
I have had chitlins, yes.
Those are disgusting
as well. Yeah, they're not good, but my grandma's like, oh yeah, here's this cheese plate.
Oh, God.
And it's called goat's head cheese. I just didn't think about it. It was legit goat brain. Yeah. My grandma's in there just eating it.
Oh, my.
Grandma's crazy.
You and your Cajun relatives.
100%. I loved her. R.I.P. Momo. But, girl, you crazy. That was like the meanest prank that's ever been happened to me, by the way. It's my grandma.
Yeah.
Would you give up your ability to see color for a 38-game win streak? I'm going to presume we're talking football now.
Permanently? Ability to see color?
Yes.
for 38 games.
That's two national titles, essentially. Oh, is it two? Is it two national titles now because you have all the extra games?
Oh, all the extra playoff games? 12 games. Oh.
Oh, that's like two more games.
We didn't even talk about that, by the way.
We didn't talk. It's going to pass. Whatever. Yeah, we'll, yeah. When it actually happens, we'll talk about it. But I think it'll be for the 2023 season, probably.
Yeah, I thought it was 22 or 23.
Yeah. Which is what I said years ago. By the way, if you listen to me, they were stuck through this through 2022. I said this like 3 years ago. And people were like, expand, expand. I was like, you would not expand me out before 2022.
Carry on. So 12 games in the regular season. And so if you're in a 12-team playoff, you got to win.
You got to win four games. But again, you have to win three if you're on the top team. So you probably only have to win three games.
Well, okay.
The top four get a bye.
But, oh, well, yeah, okay. So I guess, yeah, so if you're on a 38 game win streak, yeah.
You have to win 16 games because you have your 12, your conference title game, mm-hmm. and then four or three after that.
Right.
So you have to win 16 games. It's 32. That's two and a half years.
That's just 2 years.
It's two national titles.
Yeah, I do it.
I've seen all the colors, right?
I love black and white movies.
We're not inventing more colors at this point.
I love black and white movies.
We'll finish with Yell'em K.
Oh, funny, you should show yourself around here.
Yes. The players seemed noticeably vocal about the next chapter being great, plus there were relatively few comments thanking Schloss publicly. More to the story, or just players ready to move on excited for the next coach?
I don't have any inside scoop. I don't know if you do, but I just, like I say, rumblings that I've heard, it was time.
There were plenty of rumblings that it was time.
Yeah.
And I think that's the fairest way to say that.
Yeah.
But yes, they're excited for the next chapter.
Next.
My son signed up for the Jim Schlossnagle Summer Baseball Camp. What the F do I do now?
This made me laugh.
You go to I did make me laugh too.
I have this mental image of all these kids just standing alone on the baseball field, just looking around like.
Go to College Station.
Yeah, I guess
so. It's not that far a drive.
Yeah, it's still happening.
It's good facilities. Get some Bluebell or whatever.
Yeah.
Isn't there a Whataburger in that stadium or something?
You can
like that
probably,
too?
They might give you a ring that you can wear while you play.
Yeah, you do the ball four when a kid throws like four drive straight bad pitches. Yeah. Ball five, ball six. Yeah. You blow some bubbles. Yeah, you have a good time.
Yeah.
I have a good time down there. Take it to College Station. I'm sure the tickets are refundable for the Sarlouz camp. I'm just going to go on a limb and say that as well.
Or is Sarlouz having a camp? I mean, he probably is, yeah.
Probably is. Think so. Yeah, sure. I think he always does a pitching camp or something like that anyway. So just throw in some bats.
So it's like all the kids are standing there looking sad, and then Kirk Sarlouz comes running out like Freddy Spaghetti, like, guess who it is? Yeah. Like, I'm here.
That's exactly how that goes down. And then the last question from Yom K. Is the TCU Sports podcast market saturated? And if not, what areas have yet to be filled? Asking for a club.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, yeah, he rattled off what basically all the what Wonder Twins powers all the podcasts have the other day.
Yeah, he left, conveniently.
He left off the original and the clearly the most Homer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's us. But
the most full of magic and joy.
Yeah, you can, and we do still have some insider stuff. So you can just be a pure fan reaction. I know you do all the fan reaction videos.
Yeah.
But you could also, like, for one, like, you could poach you interview for a week. You can interview Melissa. You can interview Jeremy for
That's
a week.
True. That's true.
I guarantee you, Yell'em K, you're a big enough fan that you could do, like, a view from the cheap seats or whatever. Kind of like the twin comedians, they did that for ESPN Classics back in the day. It's called Cheap Sheets.
Oh.
Cheap Sheets.
Cheap Sheets.
Cheap Sheets. That's hard to
cheap
say.
Cheap Sheets. I'll take the penis mightier.
On that note. Well, now I want to look up these guys' names. They're the freaking twins. I can't think of their name. I mean, Randy and Jason Sklar.
I feel like it is your patriotic duty as a white American to have a podcast. 100%. I will say that.
Every white man has a podcast. There's no doubt about that. So
speaking of which, happy Juneteenth. On
Happy
Saturday,
yeah,
finally a federal
a
holiday.
Real holiday now. Yeah.
Texas was ahead of the curve on that one. Pat ourselves on the back.
No, they were last to do this.
No, Texas, it's been a state holiday for like 40 years.
Yeah, but they were the last state to free slaves.
Well, that because we didn't get the news home. Yeah, sure. No, it took a second.
Yes, that's a totally different thing. Congrats, now all the slaves are free. What Juneteenth is, not just all the ones.
Yeah, because, you know, didn't have cell phones. Yeah, didn't get that text from
that's
Abe.
That's what it was. Yeah. Annie Hoozle.
And happy Father's Day this weekend
happy
as well.
Day,
hug your father if you still got him. If you're estranged from him, you know, consider reaching out, saying you love him. You don't know how much time you get. Yep. That's my advice.
Yep, that's a good call. So I'm going to go see my dad on Sunday. So,
yeah.
Yep. So.
And follow us on Twitter. Yep. I'm at Clint_Foster55. Subscribe to me on YouTube, please. Check out my new docudrama series, if I may. Southwest Conference Stories. We got episode one out now. Working on episode two on Saturday.
I'm very excited for your special guest for that one.
Yes.
It's so, not me. I wouldn't just say that. I would say that if it was me, but I'll also probably tell you.
You are on the list.
I'm on the list. I'm going to do one of these, yes. But not this one. This will be really good, though. Excited for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, at Billy Wessels on Twitter. And, we didn't get into the recruiting stuff. Follow Jeremy. Go to Horned Frog Blicks. He knows all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, like, I can't keep up with the 2023s, 2025s, all the kids that were there. Go check that out. Still give them a promote them. Read Drew's stuff. I see a bunch of people like, well, I can't read the Star Telegram, but we get a subscription. Subscribe.
Yeah.
It's a dollar every once in a while. Who cares? But yeah, and if you're 65 or if you know someone retiring this year, hit me up. So I can help you out with your Medicare.
Hey, and if you got $1 million house, holla at your boy. There I'll you help go. You get all your stuff insured.
All right. We'll talk to y'all sometime.
Eventually. Go Frogs in the meantime.
Whenever you get your Dave Campbell magazine.
There you go.